Glad everyone's here this morning. We encourage you to take your Bibles and follow along, because today we'll be talking about, this is the first Sunday of the year, we'll be talking about resolutions for any time in any year. The psalmist said in Psalm chapter 119, beginning at verse 15, he said, "I will meditate on thy precepts, and I'll have respect and do thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." So as we think about this passage of Scripture, the psalmist, notice what he said. He resolved to think on the precepts of God, that is, to meditate upon them, to respect the ways of God, to delight in the statutes of God, and to remember God's word. Shouldn't we do that? And we need to follow the example of the psalmist. Should we think about New Year's resolutions, we see where when we resolve to do something, it takes some thought. Let's respect what we're going to do. We have to have some delight in what we're doing and remember what we need to do. And remember the point of why we're making a resolution. But, you know, there are various people who make various resolutions. You need to, your last week's bulletin had some articles about that. One is entitled New Year's Hesitations. Some hesitate to make a resolution because they know they won't keep it. But some resolutions we hear people talk about are made during these times of the year, or to lose weight, to take better care of their health, to eat a healthier diet, stop overeating, getting more exercise, to get more organized, to be neater, to stop smoking, to stop overspending, to control your anger. Various self-improvements some people resolve to do, like getting an education or learning something new, and to have a positive outlook on life. Those are all good improvements, and any improvement in that area of our life would be commendable, wouldn't it? But the resolutions I'm talking about are not these types. In a recent poll, when someone asked, you know, what is your New Year's resolution, they gave them three choices: to lose weight, to get out of debt, or to spend more time with family. 45% chose to lose weight. 35% chose to get out of debt. And 20% chose to spend more time with family. Now Wednesday evening I mentioned James chapter 4. James said in James chapter 4 verse 13 says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the mark, or what is your life? It is even the vapor that appears for a little time, then vanisheth away. For ye also say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." So as we may make resolutions, do we do it in the context of, is it the Lord's will that I do what I'm going to do? Certainly doing better, spiritually speaking, is the Lord's will, isn't it? See, a resolution is a resolve or a determination to make a firm resolution to do something. It's the act of resolving or determining upon an action or course of action or a method or procedure, according to dictionary.com. So as we think about resolutions, now to resolve to improve, that's a good thing. The problem is that many make a resolution, but they fail to do what they resolve to do. Notice I have that word resolve in quotations. They fail and look foolish. They're like the one Jesus spoke of over in Luke chapter 14, verse 28. Where he said, "For which of you intending to build a tower, setting set us not down first and count the cost where he hath sufficient to finish it. Lest happily after he hath laid the foundations and is not able to finish it, and begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and is not able to finish. So are we quitters? Or if we set our mind to do something, will we see through it that we do it? See, going back to the thought that we will look at here in a minute, but Psalms 119, remember that. Mark your, turn your Bible to Psalm 119, verse 15 and 16. But in this lesson, we're going to discuss, I'm going to give you some suggestions for success. And then tonight, we'll talk about some resolutions to consider for the year. So first, some suggestions about the resolution. Remember what the psalmist said. Remember what he said? He said, I will meditate in thy precepts, and I will have respect to thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. See, the psalmist, he resolved to think on the precepts of God, to respect the ways of God, to delight in God's statutes, to remember God's word. See that word meditate? That word meditate, it has a meaning of to ponder, to converse with oneself, or to transitively commune, complain, or declare, or meditate, muse, or pray, or speak. So we need to consider, we need to muse, we need to do a self-examination of what we intend to do. Adam Clark, in his commentary, he said he should encourage self-examination, reflection, and meditate frequently on God's Word, His works, ways, and especially on His gracious dealings for him. He should keep his eye upon God's steps, setting the example of the Savior before his eyes, going where he would go and nowhere else, doing what he would do and nothing else, keeping the company that he would keep and none else, and doing everything in reference to the final judgment. Pretty good comment. Respect. That word respect comes from a Greek word that means to stand, to look intently at. By implication, to regard with pleasure, favor, and care. So when we respect God's word, we are obeying His word. Well, if we truly respect God's word, we will do God's word, won't we? We will do God's word. Then He said, I'll delight in my word. That word delight comes from a Hebrew word, and the other one was a Hebrew word. I said Greek, I think. But Hebrew word that has in good exception to look upon with complacency. Not the word complacency. It's a feeling of quiet pleasure or security, often while unaware of some potential danger. So when we comfort ourselves in God's Word, we'll not be worried about various dangers that will be around us, although they may be there. And as we think about these words, delight, meditate, over in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, we see where the psalmist talks about how he delighted in God's Word, how he meditated in God's Word. Turn with me to that chapter, it's only 6 verses. But he says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sat from the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And his law does he meditate day and night. He is like a tree. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Over, I think it's over in Ezekiel 48, it talks about the tree by the rivers of water. What's the rivers of water? It's God's Word, isn't it? So when we meditate, when we respect God's Word, when we delight in God's Word, when we remember God's Word, we'll be benefited. That word forget is a trendy root word, means to mislay, that is to be oblivious of, from want of memory or attention. But the psalmist said he would not forget God's Word. He would not forget God's Word. So as we think about this, we always have some room for improvement, don't we? Everybody, myself included. We all need to improve. And so improving in God's Word is a commendable, I think, the number one thing that we should do and focus on. So this requires self-examination. The psalmist said in Psalms 26, verse 2, he said, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me, try my reins and my heart." In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, Paul said there that he said, "Examine yourselves to see as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless ye indeed are disqualified or reprobate," as the King James renders that. Paul said over in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, he said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, and it's to be holy." Remember, we're priests of God. We're of the royal priesthood, Peter said. And we're to be offering living sacrifices, our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that word "prove" comes from a Greek word that means to test, literally or figuratively. By implication, to approve, to allow, discern, to examine. So our approval on God, or our service on God, should be examined by His truths. Do they need us to what He expects us to do? So as we think about resolutions, first some suggestions we'll deal with this morning, then tonight we'll look at some resolutions that I would encourage you to work on. First of all, we need to think through our resolution and count the cost. Go back to Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 25 of Luke chapter 24, and see where Jesus tells the story of a man who is going to build a tower, and he had, previous to this, he had invited him into a great supper. But beginning at verse 25, he said unto them, "O fool and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things to enter into the glory?" And so as we think about this suffering, we see where Jesus, he encouraged those to think on Christ and to draw nigh to Him and to do His will. And as we think about that, we need to understand that we must always be in harmony with God's Word. We need to think through our resolution, lest those things that we do are not in harmony with God's Word. Next, we need to thirst. We need to thirst and hunger and have a burning desire to achieve our resolutions, lest we become distracted. Think about that. In chapter 5 of Matthew, Jesus, when he spoke the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." So do we thirst for God's word like the psalmist did when he said that he always strove to meditate upon God's word, to remember God's word, to meditate, to make an application to God's word to himself. He said, I will meditate in thy precepts. I'll respect thy ways. I'll delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. In John chapter 14, verse 14, Jesus said, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So God's word, his truths, are the spiritual food and water that sustains us. So do we have a hungering, a thirst for righteousness? Do we have that hunger and thirst for righteousness? Do we have the hunger and thirst to do what we resolve to do, whatever it might be? Over in John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said unto him, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. He that believeth in me shall never thirst. So we must hunger and thirst for righteousness. And whatever we resolve to do, we've had that hunger and thirst to achieve what we resolve to do, lest we become distracted. And because the man who sought to build a tower didn't complete it. John chapter 7, beginning at verse 37. The text says there, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall pour forth rivers of living water. And we believe on Jesus. Not only will we be benefited, but others around us will be benefited, won't they? You ever thought about that? How, if you're obedient to God, you're a benefit to others, especially the church that you're a member of. All right, then, we need to have a target, don't we? We need to have a realistic goal or target that will motivate us to succeed. It should be realistic. Sometimes we make resolutions that we know we can't achieve. It's just too far out there, you know. But we need to have a realistic goal so that we can be motivated to succeed. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, he said, if ye then be risen with Christ, keep those things which are above, where Christ sitteth in the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So when we set our sights on things above, and pleasing God. Now that's a realistic target, isn't it? And we can succeed not only in this life, but in the life to come by doing that. I'm reminded of those mentioned over in Hebrews chapter 11. Beginning at verse 13, it says, these all died in faith. All those that he had mentioned prior, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them, he confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of the country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, and heavenly, where God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. A desire hardly include heaven. You know, that's the thing we want to emphasize. Is our target focused on heaven? Next, there are tasks we have to do. We need to know what we need to do to reach our goal. Now, I put out these in the back. They're all gone. I'm going to bring some more tonight. But there's a 2019 Bible reading schedule. It's up to you how you go about doing this. I would suggest trying to read it all in the order that it's listed here, because all these verses have some connection. But if you use a pre-planned reading schedule, you have a task that has a goal. Not only will you read the Bible every day, but you'll be more knowledgeable of God's Word. If you keep doing that year after year after year, you'll see things in there. Every time you read, you see something a little different, don't you? Something pops out. We need to know what we need to do to reach our goal. So here we've got listed every week of the year, 2019, and it covers what verses to read that week. Get to the schedule. You can go faster if you want to. That's all right. But it keeps you on track. James said over in James chapter 1, verse 27, beginning at verse 21, James, turn over with me to James chapter 1, beginning at verse 27. Or actually verse 21 will start. He said, wherefore, laying apart all filthiness and superfluity of novice, receive with meekness and grasp the word which is able to save your soul. Be doers of the word, he said, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself and goeth his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was, but he so looketh unto the perfect law of liberty. And continuing therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of this work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Any man among you seem to be religious and bribes not his son, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. He said, pure religion, and the Father before God and the Father is this, to visit the fathers of the widows in their affliction, and keep himself unspotted from the world. So we have some goals there, don't we? We have some things to do. He said, be doers of the word and not hearers only. When we read God's word, we should be hearing it. What does that inspire us to do what God would have us to do? Alright, then timelines. You know, we need to take action, schedule our plan. Like this Bible reading schedule is a timeline. Plan for reading the Bible daily. So take action, schedule your plan, and read and study or work your plan daily. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, he said to them, if any man will come after me and follow, or after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross once a week and follow me. Is that what it says? It says daily, doesn't it? We're to do the things that God would have us to do, the work that He would have us to do. To be willing to suffer for righteousness' sake daily, hourly. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, he says, see that you walk circumspectly, carefully, looking about. Not as fools, but as wise. He's talking about our walk through life, our conduct in life, that we carefully conduct ourselves. He said, redeem the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. How can we walk wisely if we don't understand what God's word is? He said, don't be wise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. That says it can be understood, doesn't it? A lot of people say, I just can't understand that. I was reading about some commentary on why Jesus spoke in parables. You know why he did that? To filter out those that didn't really want to know the truth. That's why. The disciples desired that he sit down and explain those parables. They wanted to know what it meant. their others didn't care. But Jesus knew he wanted the truth and he didn't. And we can understand God's word if we put our mind to it. Then we have to use teamwork as an approach. We need to get help from others when needed. Seek help and wise advice. Margaret Thatcher said somebody asked how she was a success being a woman in politics. She said, because I associate with successful people. You want to be godly? Who do you need to associate with? The ungodly? Is that going to get you anywhere? It's not, is it? So teamwork. We need to seek advice from others when we need advice. And sometimes people will give you advice whether you want it or not, but consider it. Mm-hmm. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, he says, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as ye also do. So we're to edify, comfort, build up one another. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 13, he says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. So we need to seek to try to heal, help people heal, try to lift up those who are feeble, support those who need help. Sometimes we need assistance on. In Galatians chapter 6, Paul said, brother, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted, bear you one of those burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. When we help others who are weak in the spiritual, those that are walking in the spirit, and we restore the one in the spirit of meekness, and considering ourselves that we can be in that situation, we're doing what God would have us do. We're fulfilling the law of Christ when we do that. And in Luke chapter 14, verse 31, Jesus said, or what king going to make war against another king setteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Counting the cost. Do I have the strength to do what I need to do? Do I need advice? Do I need help? Do I need to see wise advice? Solomon in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3, he said, through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength, for by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. When we seek wise counsel, and what's the wisest counsel we could seek? God's word. God's word. Now, faithful Christians are the most stable-minded people on this earth. You really ever thought about that? They understand, and they can see through the fallacies that are going on around us, even in politics. All right, a few more. We'll be committed to the Lord. Well, resolutions require commitment, don't they? Also, Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, says, if we suffer, we will also reign with him. That's the if. That's the if. If we suffer, we also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not that he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Jesus won't stand with us if we deny him. If we suffer with him, we'll reign with him. Well, that requires commitment. In Luke chapter 14, verse 33, the text says there, so likewise, whosoever be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, cannot be my disciple. Now, how hard is that to misunderstand? Or to forsake the things that are dear to us in this life, that if we're to love less, we're to have our priorities in the right order. To be committed to the Lord, he expects that. He commands that. He demands that. He said, if you're not willing to forsake all you have, you cannot be my disciple. We need to succeed with the Lord's help. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He didn't mean he could do all things, anything he wanted, but the things that please God, the things that God has showed him that he must do. The mission that Paul was sent on to spread and preach the gospel. He did that by the strength of the Lord. We see strength in Paul's statement over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. His course there is laid up for me, a crown of righteousness. The Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but all them also that love his appearing. See, Paul was committed, wasn't he? He succeeded. He fought, he finished. He kept. He received the crown of righteousness. He told us that anyone that does that also can receive that crown like he knew he would receive it. In John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. But notice the last part of that. He said, But without me, you can do nothing. If we don't abide in Christ, we're failures. We need to always try to succeed by doing the Lord's will. Paul told the Corinthians over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, he said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Our labors may be discouraging at times. They may be hard. We grieve when we see people turn from the truth. But he said, be steadfast, unmovable. Don't be swayed. Don't let someone sway you away from what you know you need to do. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. And let us know that our labor is not in vain. Next, we need to triumph. No small victories, they end up being big ones, don't they? When we keep reaching those goals and those tasks that we set out to do. Ones that are realistic, that is. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, he says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor and love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. They had some victories to celebrate. Paul encouraged them in their victories. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 9, he says, but as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves all are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all brethren which are in all Macedonia. We beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. And keep on adding on to those acts of benevolence and giving. Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I said rejoice. So we need to rejoice in those things that we accomplish. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, John said, For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So there's triumphs, there's victories for those that resolve to do the Lord's will. Finally, be a Christian, come what may. No matter what. A lot of people say, well, I'm not going to be a Christian. Enough people will make fun of me, and I don't want to give up all the things that I have to give up. We need to be a Christian and expect that there will be difficult times. In 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse 12, Paul said, beloved, make it not strange concerning the fire trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you will be made glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part is evil spoken up, but on your part is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. Are we willing to suffer for righteousness' sake? Now, to be a Christian, Paul said that the righteous shall suffer persecution. Didn't say you might. Said you shall suffer persecution. John said over in 1 John chapter 5, beginning of verse 3, says, for this is the love of God, that you keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. He that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things I have written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of the Son of God. So he told us who had life and he doesn't. Are we seeking to be a Christian so that we'll have life? See, the psalmist said in Psalm 68, verse 35, he said, oh God, thou art terrible, or more awesome than your holy places. Thou art terrible out of the holy places. The God of Israel is he that gives us strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God. So we have now have power over the world, over Satan, because when we become Christians, we can fall and fail, but we have the strength of the Lord to rely upon and remain upon. And finally, instead of the song I'm singing for our invitation song, everybody open up your book to that song. I am resolved. Pat, tonight when you leave the invitation, can you leave this song again? Okay, thank you. I'm going to sing this song twice today. But the words go this way. The first stanza says, I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. Second stanza says, I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is a true one. He is a just one. He has the words of life. Who else has the words of life? Nobody does. I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what he saith, do what he willeth. He is the living one. See, there's no other than what he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, John chapter 14, verse 6. Didn't he? The fourth stanza says, I am resolved to enter the kingdom, even the path of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. And then the refrain, long covered once, but the refrain goes this way. He said, I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. So will we obey God? We strive always to keep his word, will we? So if you think about the gospel message, aiding the sinners must hear the gospel, believe the gospel, repent of their sins, confess Christ before men, be baptized in water for the remission of sins. And then we as children of God, when we err, need to realize we have that comfort that God will forgive us our sins. And 1 John chapter 1, verse 8-9, he said, John said, there if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. We must confess our sins when we err. Remember what Paul did. He fought the good fight, didn't he? He fought the good fight. Paul said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day, not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearance. We made the suggestions about resolutions, but we'll make some actual suggested resolutions tonight. We'll look at the second part of this lesson. So consider these things as we stand and sing, I am resolved. Shall we stand while we sing?